Just a word to put our scripture in context today. As usual, things have not been going smoothly for Jesus. Seems like they just don't. He's been rejected by the Pharisees. His family has rejected him. And he is about to be rejected by the townspeople in his hometown synagogue at Nazareth. People are having a hard time recognizing that Jesus is the Messiah. But Jesus knows who he is. And in our scripture today, he is teaching his disciples about the kingdom of heaven, also known as the kingdom of God. I am using this morning the Message translation of the Bible. And this is because the last three times I have preached, John Ierley has come up to me afterwards and he's held out his phone and he said, Sandy, look at this. Look at this scripture that you read earlier. He really likes the Message. And I do agree that there are times when it's clearer than my usual NRSV. So, here we go. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 to 33 and 44 to 52. Another story. God's kingdom is like a pine nut that a farmer plants. It is quite small as seeds go, but in the course of years, it grows into a huge pine tree, and eagles build nests in it. Another story. God's kingdom is like yeast that a woman works into the dough for dozens of loaves of barley bread and waits while the dough rises. God's kingdom is like a treasure hidden in a field for years and then accidentally found by a trespasser. The finder is ecstatic. What a find! And proceeds to sell everything he owns to raise money and buy that field. Or, God's kingdom is like a jewel merchant on the hunt for excellent pearls. Finding one that is flawless, he immediately sells everything and buys it. Or, God's kingdom is like a fishnet cast into the sea, catching all kinds of fish. When it is full, it is hauled onto the beach. The good fish are picked out and put in a tub. Those unfit to eat are thrown away. That's how it will be when the curtain comes down on history. The angels will come and cull the bad fish and throw them in the garbage. There will be a lot of desperate complaining, but it won't do any good. Jesus asked, "Are you starting to get a handle on all this?" They answered, "Yes." He said, "Then you see how every student well trained in God's kingdom is like the owner of a general store who can put his hands on anything you need, old or new, exactly when you need it." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Heavenly Father, open our hearts and minds in such a way that only your word is heard and only your word is proclaimed. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. When you hear a parable, do you ever feel like you get it, but then you don't? Parts of the meaning seem clear, but other parts seem confusing. It makes me wonder which parts are most important. And it makes me wonder if I've understood what Jesus said. Jesus told parables to explain or to clarify. But parables are usually more than simple illustrations, the sort of story you might hear in a sermon. Jesus often takes something very familiar, but he gives it a twist, an application that we don't expect. parables are meant to engage us. They're meant to make us think. The things that Jesus describes in parables are really beyond words. But words are all we have to describe them. In today's reading, we have several parables grouped together, and Jesus is using all of them to describe the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. This was an important teaching for the disciples. The disciples believed that Jesus was the Messiah. What they didn't understand was the kind of kingdom that Jesus was bringing with him. It's an important teaching for us too, all these years later, because we're disciples too. Jesus explains to us also what the kingdom of God might look like. We want to be part of it, so we need to know. What does it look like on earth? How is it different from the way it looks in heaven? So what does Jesus teach us about his kingdom? From the pine nut parable, which is the same as the mustard seed parable in other translations, we learn that the kingdom of God starts with something very small. We talk about planting seeds of faith, so that's an example. Jesus himself is an example. God, embodied in one man, so long ago. No modern communications to get his message out. No TV, no internet, no satellites. A short life on earth. A painful, humiliating death. A resurrection that surprised everybody. The authorities of his time denied it. But the risen Jesus was witnessed by hundreds of his followers. We're still talking about it 2,000 years later. For most of us, that seed of faith has grown and blossomed, like the pine nut or the mustard seed. Who could have known how it would spread? How is the kingdom of God like yeast? A couple of years ago in Vacation Bible School, we read a book called Who Is This Man? It talked about the effect that Jesus has had on the world. John Ortberg, the author, gave many examples of things that were created or impacted by Jesus' life and teachings, such as beliefs about human rights and the value of life, hospitals, orphanages, education, art, music, government. Yet, you can talk to people today who don't see this. They credit different forces, and to them, the kingdom of God is simply absent. It's like the yeast in the parable. When you use yeast to make bread, first you dissolve it in water, not too hot and not too cold, because otherwise you kill it. Then you mix it with flour. When you're done, you can smell the yeast, but you can't see it. Unless you wait, and then you can watch it work. The dough changes shape. We say it rises. It increases in volume. Apparently, from this parable, we are to understand that God is at work changing our world in ways that we might or might not understand. We might or might not attribute those changes to his work. God's timing and patience is on a whole different scale than ours. But already, his kingdom has produced many good things for us. God's kingdom is like a treasure hidden in a field, found by a trespasser. I have to tell you, there is a lot of commentary about the legalities in this parable. Whether or not the trespasser should have notified the owner of the field when he found the treasure. And who really owned the treasure? Apparently, the rabbinical interpretation was quite different from the Roman law interpretation. And it goes on from there. But I don't think that's the point. It's true, the trespasser is not the owner of the field or part of the family of the owner. The trespasser is a stranger. We don't even know why he was in the field. But there's also no indication that the owner of the field placed the treasure there in the first place. I think the point is, the kingdom of God is open to anyone who finds it, who recognizes it, and who values it for what it is. The kingdom of God is open to anyone who enters with obedience. The kingdom of God doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. God's kingdom is like a jewel merchant in search of fine pearls. This is someone who knows what she's doing. She's seen and sold a lot of pearls. Now she's found one that's the most perfect pearl she has ever seen. It's like the crown jewels and the Hope diamonds and any other famous gems that you can think of, all rolled up into one pearl. She recognizes its incredible value. She goes and sells all her other pearls so she can buy this one. There are many wonderful things in life, but God is reminding us that his kingdom is the most wonderful of all. We are always supposed to be seeking it through the process of seeking God's will for our own lives. And when we recognize God's will, we do it. God's kingdom is like a fishnet cast into the sea. It brings in all kinds of fish, all different shapes and sizes and types. At some point, God will judge which fish stay and which fish don't. Our lives reflect what's in our minds and hearts. Our words and actions reflect how much we value God and his guidance. God will know how to judge us when the time comes. Judgment parables are like warnings. They remind us we need to put first things first. We don't have all the time in the world to set things right. Last but not least, we have the parable of the student well trained in God's kingdom. I think this is supposed to be us. We have a job that requires thoughtfulness and intention and care. That job is giving to others what God has given to us. We received our knowledge of God from others, often our parents or teachers. We do our best to understand those teachings and to live them. But we're always presented with challenges to our understanding because God hasn't stopped working with the things that he's already done. He tells us things that are new, consistent with what he said and done before, but with new applications and new perspectives. We're supposed to pass on the precious things that we've learned to people who don't know them, children, family members, friends, strangers. We ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? We live our lives as an answer to that question so other people can see a living example. But this means we have to not only understand what we've been taught, but how it might be applied in new circumstances. So what is the kingdom of God? Jesus himself is the best example. He used to say, "The kingdom of God has come near." Whenever Jesus was present, the kingdom was near. Jesus embodied it. It showed itself in healing and wisdom and salvation. The kingdom of God is where God's will is done. It's what we pray for when we pray the Lord's Prayer. It's open to anyone who wants to do God's will. The kingdom of God is present on earth, but only in part. It has low visibility unless we look for it with the eyes of faith. Even then, we won't see it in fullness until we reach heaven itself, where only God's will is done. Nevertheless, the kingdom of God has come near. What is our response? None of us, I think, are powerful politicians or celebrity opinion makers or Wall Street titans or geniuses in technology innovation. If I'm wrong, see me after the service. We have jobs for you to do. It is a great big world out there. We might feel like we are only pine nuts or mustard seeds. But still, we do God's will as fully as we can in every part of our lives. A tender little shoot here that you barely notice. A green leaf there, a small stick poking out of the ground. But over time, grow branches, a solid trunk, a canopy of green leaves strong enough to protect nests. From our obedience, Christ can bring great things forth. That is the kingdom of God. That is our home. And that is what we want to help God build. Amen.